Hello and welcome to Mount Shasta Moments. I'm Karen Sheeks, your host, and I'm happy to share this hour with you. We're broadcasting from the root chakra of the planet, beautiful Mount Shasta in Northern California. We are multidimensional beings experiencing this human journey. And as we continue to awaken and expand our awareness, we begin to realize that this human journey is being experienced simultaneously through many lenses or dimensional perspectives. This understanding allows us to move from a fear-based life with limitations into a love-based life filled with infinite possibilities. This program offers you food for thought, inspiring conversations, tools for living, and expansive perspectives that inspire you on your path to infinite possibilities. Each week will be a unique experience, each program a journey of its own. So if you are ready for an adventure, put on your multidimensional shoes and follow me. Thank you for being here today. It's time for this month's edition of The Eagle, The Condor, and The Apus with my co-host Miguel Mesa, a Paco of Andean spirituality. Miguel and Nina are the owners of Sacred Seed Crystals here in Mount Shasta. And tonight, we're going to take you on a beautiful adventure. So relax and dive deeply with us.
Caminando por los aires, caminando por los aires, caminando en ay aire, 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 caminando en ay aire. Waida, 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 Waira, 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 waira. Caminando por los aires, caminando por los aires, caminando en ay, aire, caminando en ay, aire. Teoka, teoka, titla, witla, heyana, heneyowa. Teoka, teoka, titla, witla, heyana, heney. Teoka, teoka, titla, witla, heyana, heney. Teoka, teoka, titla, witla, heyana, heneyowa. Teoka, teoka, titla, witla, heina, watiloka, no teki, wates, kalaneta, na watakwami, tweeti, tweeti, ahome teo, tinto, yo hoinami, tes kalaneta, aheyana, heine, yowe. Teoka, teoka, titla, witla, heyana, heine, yowe. Teoka, teoka, titla, witla, heyana, heine. Teoka, teoka, titla, witla, heyana, heine. Teoka, teoka, titla, witla, heyana, heine, yowe. Teoka, teoka, titla, witla, heina, watiloka, no teki, wates, kalaneta, na watakwami, tweeti, tweeti. Ahome teo tinto yo hoenami, teska la neta, aheyana, heine yowe.
Well, yes. Thanks, Miguel, for bringing us into resonance, and welcome to the show.
Thank you.
This is our September Eagle, Condor, and the Apus segment, and Miguel just brought us into the show with some amazing music and song. Do you want to talk a little bit about those pieces before we go further into this?
Yeah. Well, let me just begin by saying how grateful I am to be here, and that this is, again, a beautiful opportunity to share what is sacred from a place of love. So, just as I did with these songs, I was intending on sharing love, and part of the medicine that really holds this place in my heart has to do with music and sound. So, the first piece was a Lakota Sweat Lodge Sundance song, celebrating life as friends in the center of the altar. And the second song was a Andean wind calling song, calling in the Waida, the wind. And the third song was Nahuatl from Native American church tradition in the Mexico region, south of the border, so to speak. Then the last little bit was some Tibetan singing bowls, hand-hammered singing bowls.
And beautiful.
Yeah.
Each one of those, I found myself listening to each one of those songs, and whether you were using the drum, the rattle, or the bowls, I found myself being pulled into the music. My body was moving with the music. There were times when I felt like I was the singer. Nice. Or I was the rattler.
Nice.
And that's what we're going to talk about tonight, is this gift, this magical sort of gift that we get from being around the indigenous folks like the Kero who are coming here later this month. You and I have been exploring, what is it that they bring? What is it? Everyone knows they have ancient wisdom.
Right.
What's the alchemy that they bring that attracts us right now?
Right.
And we started to talk about sound and music in particular as something that's so universal and so ancient and still practiced by all the indigenous folks that it takes us to a place we want to be. And how does that happen?
Right.
Yeah, that's what we're going to talk about tonight.
It sounds like a great topic for me and you to talk about.
Yeah. Because, you know, that what is it about the drum and the rattle that entrains us?
Right, it's about entrainment, balancing the hemispheres of the brain, literally putting us into an altered state of consciousness. Because our brain tries to register the difference between the sounds that are happening mm-hmm. and then tell us, how fast is that beat? How different are each beats? The rattle's going at this speed, the drum's going at this speed, or the voice is going at this speed, and the drum's going at this speed. And then so when the brain is kind of, say, trying to figure something out, like mentally with our logistical, mathematical, analytical part of the brain, which is our left brain, mm-hmm. then the right brain says, oh, now it's my opportunity to really expand and change things up and have a mystical experience. Because everything is in order. The harmonics of the universe are in, you know, right order where I feel safe. The nervous system wants to feel safe and secure. And so when we feel that way, music often puts us in that place. Then we can have mystical experiences where we lose our inhibitions and dance, or where old patterns that we've latched onto for so long decide it's time to move on. And so we're in agreement with that because there's a bigger part of us that's working to bring about this change and healing. And music is a catalyst.
I think that relaxation bit is really important, because what I notice is when I know this is something universal, it's not just my experience, but when I'm listening to ancient music like that, it isn't very long before I fall into a state of just relaxation and sort of, I guess if I had to describe it, it would be a saying yes to everything.
Mm.
And it kind of brings up this joy, because you don't necessarily understand the literal translation of the words that are being sung or spoken.
Right.
And yet you know what it's about.
Exactly.
And it's familiar. You know it's familiar.
Yeah.
And I think there's something about, there are vibrational frequencies of sound that are associated with the planet itself. These are frequencies that we can't hear with our human ears, supposedly.
Right, sub-audio.
Whatever. But I'm wondering if these songs don't reflect that in some way, because you do also get this sense that you're on the planet. You may have an expanded experience, but you're still
very
aware
earthy.
Of the fact that you're on the planet.
Yeah, it's very earthy and grounding, and that drum has this feeling in the body of being from the belly kind of region.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, people say it's in the lower chakras with drumming. But, you know, there are some traditions that actually don't utilize any instruments
mm-hmm.
other than the human voice.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, those particular experiences and ceremonies have been the most profound.
Yeah.
Realizing that all these tools are examples of our expression to celebrate the original tool which we're born with. And, you know, the way that they sing in ceremony is just as if they're having a conversation with you about your life. They're literally having a conversation with you in their own language, talking to you about your life. Hey, what's going on? Can we help with this? What do you say we shift this together? They're able to see and perceive living energy that surrounds us in the field of our experience. And then it's been manifested on the physical. We may explain our condition to the doctors,
mm-hmm.
who are song doctors.
Mm-hmm.
And they literally, it's like a consultation when you go to tell the doctor or the healer or someone you're working with or any kind of person who you're seeking help from.
you have a conversation about the story, quote unquote, the story. Right. They kind of delve into it and engage the story to help you sing it back into order. So they sing us back into order, harmonically painting the field around us. You know, and with that, certain illnesses or, you know, habits or things that have been manifesting in our lives that aren't as harmonious with who it is that we are tend to find discourse, and they're not resonating with us anymore, and they literally leave the field. So a lot of these songs and these traditions that utilize music as a healing modality are meant to put us into resonance together. We sing together, we are the one drum together. So this resonating field creates a group collective focus and power that helps us attain goals and unify together. Like if we have a specific collective prayer and we all unify behind songs and drum that's very specific about certain requests that we have, we make the offerings of the songs, and ideally we receive something beneficial in return because it's so nice to listen to the songs.
Yeah, I love the way the songs are collectively enjoyable. You know, there are individual songs. I have a friend who's a Yaqui elder.
Oh, wow.
And he once was explaining to me that we each have a song.
Mm-hmm.
And I have another friend who was trained in the Peruvian traditions years and years ago. And she also told me the same thing, that we all have a song in us that wants to be expressed. And once we find that song, then we find our voice. And when we find our voice, then we have the vibrational frequency of who we are as an experience in our body.
Right.
And then, of course, we can express it. Your family tradition uses singers as medicine people, right?
Yeah, actually, from multiple different traditions in my lineage, so to speak, my heritage. My mother, she's from Eastern Europe, and my father's father is from Spain. And that whole area is, you know, very fantastic with singing and playing the classic guitar and the gypsies and the way they clap. I've only seen it and brought my father and I to tears. It's just so passionate and rich with culture and authenticity and power. And then with the connection with my South American roots with my father, you know, it's like there for my father and my experience with him was very much according to the salsa and merengue and these Latin grooves that got people shaking their hips. And I mean, it's feel-good music and it's party time, you know? But then you go into more ancient times and you've got the lineage which is hidden in my family.
Right.
That has to do with seeking counsel with medicine people deep in the jungles who heal with singing. They heal with the song. And my father told me a story once about him hurting his knee playing soccer. And his mom suggesting, my grandmother, suggesting, because the Western doctors didn't help him, he still was having pain with his knee, that she suggested he go see to a, what they call curandero, a witch doctor, quote unquote, my dad said. But these are healers, medicine people who work with the herbs, the plants, and they utilize song, singing. And so I asked my dad about that. He told me, he went, and it was late at night. He didn't see who it was he was going to see. It was very kind of like, you know, a little bit scary, like this mystery of who it is. And so I asked him about it, and he said that they sang to him all night, and they took the pain away. And I said, so did you have any tea, or did they do anything different that was something medicine, like
plant medicine or something? Yeah,
because often it's an experience like that is unifying with a plant medicine, a teacher, a healer,
right,
or some kind of plant baths or these sort of things. And he said, no, not at all. So that's interesting too, because the Caro, they don't use any plant medicines, and I feel like they are tools, as it is to help us remember ourselves. The plants are highly evolved. And just as each and every one of us have a song, like you said, the plants too have a song.
Yes.
Different trees, different plants, different medicine plants, different animals, particularly spirits of those animals. You know, that each and every one of us have this kind of resonant vibration that if we're able to discover from a natural, pure, connected, innocent way of sharing ourselves with each other, we can do great things by even just talking, even just sharing our voices.
You are listening to The Eagle, The Condor, and The Apus with Karen Sheeks and Miguel Mesa on Mount Shasta Moments, right here on Align Radio, where we align with the unified field of love. We've talked before in other segments of my show about the nervous system, the brain, the subconscious and conscious mind, and the reticular activating system that connects the two, or that communicates between those two aspects of mind, and how the subconscious is a repository of an infinite amount of information from this life and others. And it's like we bring our library with us, and it's in the subconscious, and the subconscious is processing so much information that is present and then storing it, and the conscious mind isn't aware necessarily of all of that. And the reticular activating system is the gateway that decides or signals, to simplify it, to signals the subconscious to bring something to the surface so that we can become aware of it, because our conscious mind has decided it's going to focus on that. So then the subconscious brings all of this other information forward that's, oh yeah, this is more of that, this is more of that. And it feels like when we get entrained by music, and we get to that moment where we say yes, it's like at first you're listening, then your body's kind of moving, and then all of a sudden you're just in it. And that signals the information to go into the subconscious that we're going inside this music, and we know there's something familiar. And I think that's when we get tapped into the collective, the ancient wisdom, the memories from many lifetimes, the idea of unity, and all of that happens through the saying yes to that music.
And so true.
Yeah, and I think,
you know, you're resonating with something that I'm remembering now about my own path with being introduced to music as it is. I'm a dancer. I love to dance.
Yeah.
And I didn't really consciously have that awareness, even though we danced as kids and it was very much a part of the family parties and everything, especially with my father and salsa and merengue. But for me, for my own passion of life, in 1992, I went to a rave. And at that rave, I experienced the becoming of oneness in a group collective as it is experiencing music. All of us dancing to the same beat, all of us having the sweat and the prayers and the tears and the joy and the social aspects. And I love that so much that it caused me to say to my mom and my dad, I need to go to dance school because I want to learn how this all works with making something as it is like a presentation to say, how can I tell a story with dance?
Yeah.
Because music, it feels like a story to me. Like there's this beginning and a crescendo and a bridge, and then these songs that we sing, they have kind of like bookends, you know? Or the way that even a DJ plays his set. You know, like for me, that was truly experiencing freedom, and it is still with dance. And I love to dance, and I started playing music because of my love for dance and wanting to then give back to those who would potentially feel inspired to dance themselves.
Exactly. You know?
And there's something within our neuronet experience that when we're like, quote-unquote, unhinged, like when the brain is not trying to compartmentalize and figure things out and, you know, create boundaries and separation, when we're truly in oneness, in the experience of oneness, it's like exhilarating and totally fun and amazing and beautiful. And I feel like more and more of us are touching that together in a daily interactive kind of, you know, experience. And that excites me about our transitions.
I think music is probably so ancient we have no idea where it began. You know, there are stories about the frequency, the vibrations of music actually being the vehicle that moved the stones for the pyramids, or put the standing stones up, or whatever. You've heard some of those stories too, right?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, I remember one story of a Caro Paco who was studying with an elder, and he asked the elder, so grandfather, how was it that our ancestors were able to move these giant stones? And he said, my student, you have to know the right songs. And then, you know, that's kind of like this mystical way of expressing that we did it with vibration and sound. Mm-hmm. That to conceive of those gigantic megalithic stones being moved would take more power than we could fit our hands on.
Yeah.
Standing around mm-hmm. it. There's some other technology that we're just now rediscovering or maybe being reintroduced to, because there's a collective agreement that there's a third party involvement who aren't here.
Yeah.
Who aren't...
the best story out there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who aren't publicly here, let's
yeah.
say.
Yeah.
But I feel like very much are here. And they come in a good way. They want to help. Mm-hmm. They want to bring us back into this celebration of the garden and expressing our divinity here on Earth. Mm-hmm. You know? Which is why we still have these temples.
I don't know why, but I just had this flash of memory of one of the Harry Potter stories where it might have been the first one. There was this place called the Chamber of Secrets.
Ah, I remember that name.
And it was guarded by this three-headed, gigantic, ferocious dog.
Mm-hmm.
And many other charms as well. But it turned out later that Harry and Hermione and Ron find out that the way to calm the dog down and put it to sleep is to just play music.
Mm-hmm.
And so if they play, I think there was a flute or a harp or something like that.
Yeah.
Just a stringed instrument maybe. And then the dog just went to sleep peacefully and let them pass.
And, you know, that's a pretty interesting symbol. It's like that ferocious beast as it is becoming enchanted by a sweet song on a harp and taming the beast and not killing it, because that doesn't solve anything, but in a sense just giving it an opportunity to relax
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
while we can have fun and make some magic, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that you've traveled in your younger years in the jungles, right?
Yeah.
You spent some time learning and being taught many things. In your short life, a good part of that, you've been focused on coming into alignment and finding ancient traditions that really put you there.
Mm-hmm.
How much of that was involved with sound?
Well, you know, I would say probably like 90% of it. And the 10% was while we were traveling from place to place.
Mm-hmm.
And even that was when sound was involved. I mean, you know, I feel like the vibration of sound and all these frequencies of radio waves and electromagnetic frequencies, and all these things constantly surround us. And that sound is something we're exposed to from the moment of conception. The impression that our ears receive and how it's recorded, you know, is ancient memory. And it's quite a mystery to me, but I feel like there's something to, like what you said earlier, about how it may not be a language that we consciously understand, mm-hmm. but in some way it makes sense. And it's a harmonious relationship. It's like the Law of Aini in the Karo tradition, where you've got this exchange of living energy that is resonant. It feels good. Like when people walk into the shop, they come in and they say, wow, it feels good in here. They're talking about the sound.
Mm-hmm.
We don't realize it, but it's actually the vibration and the frequency and the resonance that the field is literally breathing with, this feeling of yummy love and you know, I want to hang out here kind of a feeling. And, you know, say, for example, it's like if we're in the city and we feel like we just got to get out of the city, that may be true, but it could be that all the different frequencies that are bombarding and competing with each other are kind of driving our neurological system a little bit bonkers.
Yeah.
So music can be tremendously healing in those situations where we're, say, in the city. And, you know, I encourage any one of us, whether we're here on Mount Shasta or in the city, to find their own voice, to find how songs and how that medicine can invigorate their lives and their breath and their heart and their resonance. You know, it's just truly amazing, because if we think about how we breathe and where the diaphragm is and how this intention of our voice goes out by way of the throat, but yet it's all passing through the heart.
Mm-hmm.
And when I truly feel like I'm offering a song of medicine, it's that my whole chest cavity is vibrating with that song, not just coming from one place or another. The whole resonant field is in concurrence to share that blessing, and it's just really remarkable.
I think it's funny how people in the Western world, at least, often will sing in the shower.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you're in the shower, I know I get a lot of information, transmissions and things, downloads in the shower. And I know that's because when I'm in the shower, I'm really receptive. I'm really open. I'm relaxing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying, oh, yeah, you
right.
know, bring it. And then we start to sing because we've opened our hearts and we've dropped our resistance and we're just in our moment there in the shower. You know, everyone has their moment. And I think that's why people sing so often in the shower.
Mm-hmm.
It's because that voice is just right there anyway, all the time wanting to be heard.
Oh, yeah. And it sounds really good in there. You know, like, it's loud. This shower is
there's something about the steam.
Resonant chamber, you know, mm-hmm. with the tile and the way mm-hmm. it all vibrates. And then there's something about safe and feeling like we can truly express in there. No one's going to see us. Or they may hear us in the other room, but mm-hmm. that's... Actually, you know, you're reminding me of our housemate. Her daughter is in the choir, and she sings every day in the shower. I mean, mm-hmm. it's like an angel you hear mm-hmm. just barely, but there's something to that. And being able to free ourselves in that way is a perfect way to start off our day or end our day. You know, even if it's just humming or whistling or singing a pop song, you know, obviously one that has a little bit of like genuine heartfelt sentiments, mm-hmm. you know, and start from there. Or even say, for example, it's not necessarily important to sound good either. Like, some of the primordial sounds we hear, like Om, so powerful in itself. There's so many mantras and different meditations that have to do with sound from, you know, Sanskrit and Ayurvedic and mm-hmm. Hindu tradition that I personally don't know much about, but are tremendously powerful.
They are.
You know, and it's an ancient sound. I mean, even with Buddhism and, you know, chanting Daimoku mm-hmm. with Nam-myoho Renge Kyo, mm-hmm. those primordial sounds open up something deep within our awareness
yes.
of who we are and where our intelligence actually comes from, because it's so ancient and it has to do with sound.
Definitely.
You know, there's even, so say for example, Aya, right? We have our beautiful young daughter, Aya. She's learning sound very much.
Definitely.
And she's learning how to, say, put it all together
mm-hmm.
with words. But a lot of the sound that she makes now is like the cooing and the, you know, repeating of a certain syllable.
Mm-hmm.
That syllable gets our attention. And I notice the syllable and I use that tone and try to repeat the word back to her in that tone.
Mm-hmm.
And so that she gets the idea that it's shifting. Just, it's like you dial in the sound just a bit and then we can communicate. Yeah.
And when you mentioned the Sanskrit and the bhajans, those are things I'm really familiar with and for years and years. And it the way those are used in group, it is almost always a conversation. So there's a singer who sings, calls out,
and
then
response.
Everyone else answers in the same way. So
yeah.
it's just and that's the reciprocity, because they're singing and you're singing back the same thing. So it's this beautiful flow, and it does calibrate your whole body and your mind into a space of receptivity and I would say just bliss,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Wow.
And there's something about that shared bliss.
Yeah.
You know, that helps us to remember we're very adept at knowing that we have unity in negative ways, you know, that we come together in disasters or misery loves company or all those kinds of things. We actually do know how to be in unity. We just need to shift it to being in unity in a positive way,
mm-hmm.
you know, and the songs can often do that, as well as they can do it in the opposite way if they're really negative songs.
Actually,
know?
That's true.
So,
you know, in fact,
the words that are used are important.
It is. It's so important. And with these ancient Sanskrit mantras, like when we're doing, say, like you said, the bhajans or kirtan,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
there's this sharing
yes.
of these prayers to incorporate the mystical sacred into our lives, you know, to celebrate it together. And it's just ecstatic.
A lot of them are just about appreciation of divinity and
nice.
Being present with us.
Yeah.
You know?
Like I have a friend who sings kirtans with mm-hmm. harmonium. You play mm-hmm. harmonium?
Yeah,
too.
I do.
Yeah,
uh-huh.
nice. And I played percussion with him for a little while. And it was a great experiment in a new thing for myself because I hadn't known about it too much,
mm-hmm.
you know, the kirtans and chanting Sanskrit mantras. But it helped, personally, it helped me to be able to play the drum and release my voice at the same time in a way that was different than, say, singing a Lakota song
in Lodge.
In Lodge, mm-hmm. where it's the heartbeat. It's like more doing polyrhythm.
Mm-hmm.
And that is really extraordinary. I mean, you have to go into a place of no mind.
Exactly.
And at the moment you think about what's happening in terms of a conscious awareness, like in the present, really throw you out. Until you get to a point where you're really well rehearsed.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really helpful to be in no mind when we go into these
it
places.
Is. Or open mind, anyway.
Yeah,
you know?
That's true. Open mind.
I think.
Open mind, open heart.
As the Kero are coming this month again
mm-hmm.
to our beautiful mountain home and bringing their profound ceremony and their enormous hearts. You and I were talking the other day about what is it that just, why them, you know,
mm-hmm.
and what's happening here? What's going on that the Kero are drawn to come here repeatedly between now and the end of next year? What's happening, do you think?
Right, well, part of their mission, as it is, they feel it's now the time to give the transmissions that we will receive in order to make these transitions in a more graceful manner.
Mm-hmm.
Like they feel like the prophecies are what they are. Many different cultures have prophecies
yeah.
about these times. And each and every one of us is a lock waiting to be undone,
mm-hmm.
unlocked, unhinged
mm-hmm.
from the heart. And so the Kero feel as though their mission to humanity is to deliver the key, which is the Karpai transmission, as an example,
mm-hmm.
to unlock our human potential.
Beautiful.
Because they are such ancient people that have not broken their direct connection to ancestors, to the star people, to the spirit nature, devas, and all the different kingdom realms of
mm-hmm.
it as it is in the natural world.
Mm-hmm.
They are just born into this connection. Like it's not something that they learn later in life to say, oh my gosh, wow, everything is connected and we are all one.
Mm-hmm.
This is like, you know, from the beginning, something that is already ingrained.
And it's not just that it's part of their teaching. It is. But it's their experience.
Mm-hmm.
I think that that's the important thing, is that I've met a lot of people in this world who have indigenous roots and lots of tradition and practices and ceremony. And there are some people who just always live it. You know, for some reason or another, for some
mm-hmm.
circumstance or situation or another, they're allowed to experience that as their life,
right? I
from
see what you
birth
mean.
On, without interruption,
right? And
you
not
know?
Get kind of knocked off the block,
right? You know, or not have to dilute it in any way.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so nice to have a group of elders come who have had that privilege, you know, for whatever reason, this is like a living example of simplicity that just defies explanation. I have a hard time articulating the simplicity that I feel when I'm with the kiddo. It's just, it's an entrainment that happens, like with the music. When Don Umberto puts his forehead on my forehead, it's the same thing. It's like being blasted into the multiverses, but at the same time, I'm absolutely certain I'm a part of this story on the planet here. And I know that I belong in that moment.
Nice.
You know.
Yeah. Wow. That's amazing. Yeah, because, you know, you touched on a few things that remind me of, say, for example, their simplicity, and particularly Don Umberto and Doña Bernardina. I mean, the Caro as a whole are very poor people.
Yeah.
And they've only known small, tiny huts as big as half of a room that is a small room to begin with. And say, for example, the last time Umberto came to the States, he only had his ceremonial clothing, which he wears all the time,
right,
and sweatpants and a shirt, and his mesa. He had, like, and a bag with some tools for making ceremony.
Right.
He had very, like,
and he
very
wanted
little,
to sleep in the tent outside.
Right.
You know, he was much happier outside in
so
the tent.
He took me by the hand and said, you're going to take me shopping because I need a pair of pants. And it was true. He had just a pair of beat up old sweatpants on underneath his poncho. I was like, you're in the States now. Let's get you something a little nice because it's available. Mm-hmm. Let's make this offering. And he was like a kid in a candy shop. And I tell you, the man did not feel out of place.
Right.
Like, he was just himself and feeling completely
relaxed and
so happy to be alive. And the twinkle in his eye and the happiness that we share when we're walking around the mall was, like, tripping me out. I mean, it was so much fun. Even the way he measured pants that would fit him, kind of, like, it blew my mind about how simply interconnected we all are. I mean, he took, say, for example, the waist of the pants. He took his forearm, put his elbow inside one side of the waist and his hand on the other side of the waist and checked to see if it fit that way.
Because he knows about the Fibonacci without knowing what it's called.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And he knows about fractal geometry.
Yes.
And then he measured the length of the pants by taking both bottoms of the legs and opening his arms way out and holding the pants. And not until we had the perfect fit that way did he try them on. And it was to my suggestion that he tried them on, just to see, you know. But it was hilarious.
And then did they fit?
Oh, they fit perfectly. And he was really, you know, just going for, like, nice little conservative pair of pants and a button-up shirt. And he was completely happy, like I said, a kid in a candy shop, you know. And that innocence of being is something that we experience when we're with them.
Yeah.
And we're in the presence of these 80-year-old people who have been together through thick and thin. They are the only Yanantin-Masantin couple, a harmonious relationship, who are practicing Alto Masoyak and Pampa Masoyak priests of the Caro tradition, still alive. There's other elders who are just man, just woman, as it is, but they're unique in the way that they are actually a couple.
They're beautiful.
And they're in resonance.
I know. They are, and it's so palpable when we're with them.
Yeah. Umberto insists on my playing the kena flute during ceremony. He says, toca la kena siempre, always play the kena, a carpai, during the carpai. You know, and there's something to that because it's not the same without it. I mean, there's just something else that happens when there's music.
I felt when you were doing that, when I was receiving it, I felt that the vibration of the music was sealing the experience into my being.
Yeah. You kind of, I feel like in that moment for me playing, it's like I'm giving the brain something to think about, to try to analyze, and to follow, while we are unaware that beautiful things are happening.
Yeah.
While beautiful things are happening to us, the brain is saying, oh, I'm interested in figuring this out. So I can't prevent myself from receiving gifts in that moment because it's new information.
Exactly.
Sometimes, you know, it's like we want to analyze the new information non-judgmentally. You know, and so music and songs and drums and all these beautiful things, when they're carried by the individual who's offering them with intention, they can be tremendously powerful gifts. And the gift is actually our experience of ourselves within the experience of hearing and feeling the music.
So true. Wow, well, this has really been fun, Miguel. Thank you so much. And I guess we'll have an update, you know, before and after. This is before the keto.
Right.
And we'll be working on the after. And I'm sure after we receive this set of car pies, we're going to be hopefully still able to articulate, but it'll be different.
It'll be very different, you know.
So,
with the keto coming, I just thought I'd mention that there are still a few availabilities open here in Shasta for private despacho ceremony, which is a offering that the keto make for us. It's like a life offering.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about an hour and a half ceremony with Umberto and Doña Bernardina. Beautiful. They make a mandala out of all natural things and offer it to Pachamama and Upper Shasta. And then there's also Huchamiqui, which is cleansing the physical and the energetic bodies of heavy, dense energies. And then there's also going to be a special event with Dale Walker.
Yes.
We have some of the ancient skulls coming to town.
Yeah.
So if you're interested in receiving private sessions or coming to any of the community events, please contact me through iqf.shasta@yahoo.
IQF is International Keto Foundation, right?
Yep.
IQF.shasta@yahoo.com.
Mm-hmm.
And then Sacred Seed Crystals, of course, you and Nina are the owners and amazing beings here. And
nice.
Your website, sacredseedcrystals.com?
Yeah, sacredseedcrystals.com.
And your phone number, because I know you're still working on the website?
Oh, yeah. 530-926-2204.
Great. Well, until next month.
Yeah.
Many blessings and thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome and thank you. Many blessings. Hee-yah!
Thanks for joining us on this journey. I hope you had a good time. Have a great week and remember to turn to music and to the natural world for inspiration, stability, and hope during these chaotic times. Tune in next Thursday at 5 p.m. Pacific for my monthly segment of Plant Spirit Medicine with my co-host, herbalist Julie Caldwell. If you'd like to listen to replays of this program, it will play every day at 5 p.m. for a week, and you can hear last week's program every day at 11 a.m. Pacific time. So enjoy your life, be inspired, and spread the love. See you soon. You're listening to Mount Shasta Moments with Karen Sheeks on Align Radio, where we align with a unified field of love.